Welcome to Waypoint, a podcast for all of the loyal listeners who've stuck around and listened to every single episode of this arc so far. Yes, that also goes for Moonrise and Starfall. Both of these episodes do have the Dream Squad title image. I'm Jules, I'm the Game Master.
And I'm Dana, Lexa, she, her, and I'm playing Longhorn, also she, her.
I'm JPG, he, him, and I'm playing Troubledore, the delinquent, also he, him.
I am Luca, he, they, and I'm playing Mr. Olympic, the star, he, him.
I am Tess, she, her, and I'm playing the wonderful wacky who uses its pronouns.
Hi, I'm Mimi, they, them, and I play Ecstatic, the real star. And also, this episode is not yet for me. Because I actually have not listened to all episodes that have come out so far, because live tweeting happens on the off week, which means I have to wait.
So, this is the finale of Dream Squad.
Ooh.
We're here, I assume, unless something really shocking happens in this episode.
Yeah, no, it's, you're never going to be rid of us. This is just our podcast now.
This is the last chance for all of us, for us to have some actual Americans here, for the Americans to have some Europeans here. Any last questions you want to ask about different cultures? I hear Americans mix their Nesquik with water. What the fuck's up with that?
What? Who the fuck does that?
Wait. Is that not a thing?
No, you just milk.
Wait, is that a thing?
Because you just milk.
This might be a poor thing.
That's, yeah.
It might be, but like,
that's fair.
You know, I would just get milk instead of Nesquik in that situation, but I don't know what the food deserts are looking like in the US.
Yeah, but like,
I've always wondered why the packaging says you can mix it with water or with milk.
Because
I was always thinking, who?
I mean, I'm sure it's much better with milk. Anyway, you know what? I digress. I don't even remember where we're at right now in this story, so we might need a recap.
Yeah, does anyone remember?
We met our boss Doug Dreamer for a nice one-on-one or one-on-five chat.
Twice, actually, last episode.
Yeah, everything's cool. Everything's frosty. I think that's about it.
Truly frosty, yes. You also had your moment of truth.
Yes.
Last episode, your big moment for the first time on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Which you use to narratively shorten the distance between two buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And you crash through a lot of stuff. To give the quick recap for the people who actually don't remember, last time you had your little briefing, which did not end well, about the mission you had, while Troubledore and Astrogirl were fighting their way through a bunch of talk show host robots. There was a short little interlude where Troubledore leaked secret information about Ecstatic's parentage.
And yeah, I forgot about that.
I did not forget that.
That's fair.
And also, you considered killing a lawyer.
I mean, dude deserved it, though.
Probably.
I mean, he did definitely work for someone who isn't nice, I would say. So, I who am I to say if that deserves death? Questionable, I'd say. You then went up to the highest floor of the Knight Meditech building and realized that it's really, really cold up there. And you found the frozen head of the Doug Dreamer, who is piloting a robot. And that's where you find yourselves now. You are at the edge of an amphitheater-like operation room with a lot of medical equipment. You can hear the beeping of a machine in the background. And at the bottom of the room are the Doug Dreamer robot suit body with the frozen head atop inside of what looks like a glass cone. And right in front of him, you see something that looks like an operating table with a body bag on top of it that appears to be full. The room is full of scientists at the edges who take a couple steps back now that the situation kind of looks like it's going to turn ugly. And I think the last thing that happened last episode was that the wonderful wacky jumped at Doug Dreamer.
That is correct. I'm ready to throw fucking down.
All right, then let's do beginning of combat. When you enter battle against a dangerous foe as a team, add 2 to the team pool. So let's start off with that. I think I should keep better track of that. Did anyone keep track of how much team you have?
No, but this is the first time we're entering as a team. Like, we were dealing with stuff like small groups, so it's probably fine to just reset it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you had at most 1 team left last episode that you might have used. I'm just not fully sure. But let's just say enter battle as against a dangerous foe. You start off with 2 team. If the leader has influence over every... first of all, who's the leader? That is a good question to ask here.
Yeah, at this point, it's up for grabs.
I'd be looking at Ecstatic or Longhorn, probably.
I don't think Becca is leading the team at this point.
Well, Ecstatic at least doesn't see Mr. Olympic as the team leader at this point.
Yeah. Honestly, you want to take the lead?
I could, sure.
I mean, I would say Ecstatic because I feel bad.
On the other hand, Wacky is just starting this fight. True. Does that make Wacky like the natural leader? Who knows? It appears to me like at least you don't have a clear idea of who your leader is at this point. Mm. So I'll say we skip the leader part and go for if everyone has the same purpose in the fight, add another team. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Like, the situation is still pretty new, and maybe some of you tend more to, hey, whatever's wrong with that body bag. But I think stopping Doug Dreamer seems to be your main motivation here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe flavored into kill Doug Dreamer in 1 or 2 situations, but we'll see. That gives you another team. You're at 3. If any team member mistrusts the leader of the team, remove a team. Since you don't really have a leader, you're basically cut out of both of these options. And if your team is ill-prepared or off-balance, remove a team.
Hmm.
Would you say that your team is ill-prepared or off-balance?
Apparently we don't know who the leader is, so...
Yeah, I would say. I'd say so.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Yeah.
We were not expecting the giant mecha.
Yeah, you didn't prepare for the robot dreamer fight.
Yeah, I think we were prepared for a fight, but not for this specifically.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Then you have 2 team in your pool. At the start of this fight. That seems more reasonable than the 8 or 9 in the last one. So, Tess, I read Wacky just fucking jumping for Dreamer as just directly engaging a threat.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it in a, like, terrifying fashion. Because I would love to trigger Not Human Enough. When you directly engage a threat in a terrifying fashion, you may mark a condition to take 1 additional option, even on a miss.
Sure, yeah, do it.
Again, I like having conditions for Wacky.
I love your The Nova way of playing the Transform.
Right?
Just stacking up those conditions.
Regeneration and The Nova would be a broken combo.
That would be insane, yeah.
I want to play that. I'm going to grab dice. That was a 8 on the dice.
Okay.
-2 because I'm afraid. And +1. So that's a 7?
Healthy 7. Yeah. All right.
And I'm going to mark insecure. No, okay. I'm not. I'm not insecure. I'm terrifying. I'm going to mark hopeless. I think it's just, like, kind of real that, you know, this person's at the top of a penthouse, like, in a massive building. Like, this is the, like, highest villain we've faced.
Yeah.
And he also has the control of, like, an entire-ass government. And, you know, armies.
Fair.
And I'm like, this is a really big threat. Oh, God, what happens if we kill Doug Dreamer?
I will also say, like, in terms of how Masks rates the power of villains, this is the highest power level villain there has been on the show so far.
Ooh. That makes sense.
So you get to pick 2 because you marked the condition and because you rolled a 7.
And I think visually, this is just I start plowing through the chairs, which are probably bolted down, like the ones in like the amphitheater. And I'm just, like, ripping them up with, like, huge chunks of the concrete underneath. And I don't even think there's like any sort of graceful like jump and punch. I'm just going to tackle him. I think my goal is to take him out the window. Or not the window, like take him through the wall behind him.
Okay.
Hopefully. This
room does not have windows, but it has walls, yes.
I don't know if it's an external wall. I don't think Wacky knows that. But I'm hoping to, you know, knock this man off a skyscraper.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So I'm going to... I want to take something from him. His, like, position of power. Not, like, political position, but, like, literally physical position.
Yes.
I want to impress, surprise, or frighten. He has not yet seen my, like, horrifying face side, because I intentionally kept it away from all the cameras. And I, like, haven't spoken so far. Like, intentionally very, like, I'm trying to stay subtle and quiet. And so this is the first time he's seeing me in this, like, horrifying monster, my face is crushed in form.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know for my third one. I feel like Resist or Avoid is the smartest.
I think you only have two, right?
Oh, you're right, because I get one extra. Yeah, okay, so two.
Yeah.
So who needs to resist or avoid? Not me.
Just quickly looking up 60s slang for his response. Oh, God, no, that's all racist. Okay.
Yeah, that Let's tracks. Continue.
God.
Why do so many of these mention Chinese people? Let's go on. You jump at him. He definitely gets frightened and takes a few steps back as you come there. He's like already in a fighting position, but definitely gets like frightened out of it. And you basically, like how I imagined, you ram into him and throw him up basically against the nearest wall, because he's like at the bottom of this amphitheater. So you have to kind of toss him out if you want to get him through a wall. And you definitely bring him into a less fortunate position. And I think he is thrown back against that wall. But something that you notice is like the thick robot suit he's wearing bounces back almost like a rubber ball or something like that. And basically gets flung right back into you, tossing you back with almost the force you put into him. Take a powerful blow for that one, actually.
That was an 8 on the dice plus 4 conditions. Ooh. That's a 12.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, boy. Okay. Oh.
No, that's okay. I'm not upset about that.
Okay, on a 10 plus, choose one.
When he knocks me back, can he knock me into like some medical equipment?
Yeah, for sure. The whole room is filled with medical equipment. Like, I'm imagining it like you falling into the lower stairs of this amphitheater and kind of getting flung upwards, stair per stair, like you're falling up, backwards up the stairs. And you're definitely getting flung through a lot of, like, measuring equipment, but also, like, some, like, vials and needles laying around.
Is there anything, like, hyperbaric in there? Like, anything super cold?
This room is definitely, like, manually cooled down. So you would definitely fly into, like, some machines that are here to keep the temperature low.
Perfect. Yeah, can I hit something that's, like, Freon-based or hyperbaric-based, something really cold? And then that's going to take me out. I'm going to pass out.
All right. Yeah. You're being flung away immediately. And Dreamer, whose frozen face still looks definitely worried by that attack on him, just kind of like uses his huge clawed robot hand to dust himself off and says,
"Did you really think I wouldn't install countermeasures for all of the superheroes under me? I know what you can do."
I would like to do something that Ecstatic has never tried before. I want to try an electromagnetic pulse.
Okay. Ooh. You want to EMP him?
Yes.
I'd say that is a directly engage a threat.
Fair.
That makes the most sense. You're trying to take something away from him, I assume?
Yeah, or create an opportunity also, I guess.
Yeah, both of those make sense. All right, yeah, then it's a plus danger. Directly engage a threat.
Well, that's 0, so neither good nor bad, I guess. Hey, Jules, that's 2 sixes.
Oh, boy. Okay, yeah, that's a 10 plus.
So, yeah, I think I want to create an opportunity for my allies in that maybe at least for a short while, he won't be able to fight back that much. And then I would also like to resist and avoid his blows.
Yeah, okay, makes sense. So you create an opportunity for your allies and you resist or avoid blows. I'd say you do that. Do you run forward? Do you try to like hit him specifically? How does it look when you try to do an EMP for the first time?
I think I probably just sort of punch in his direction or something like that. And for once, okay. You can't really see any lightning or anything. Like, it is an invisible effect, I guess.
I would say, like, you definitely hit him, and you see that his suit, like, sort of powers down. You see, like, sparks flying out of it. And there's a clear look of, like, annoyance on his face. But you also notice that, like, something pops out of his back, like a glowing tube. And it appears that specifically for electric attacks, he has this sort of backup generator installed to power himself up again, which would need a bit of time to bring him back into the fight, essentially. So you have definitely, like, slowed him down so your allies have an opportunity in this moment.
Oh, you know what? I think the would-be great visuals for the EMP is ecstatic, like, punches toward him, and there's a wave of all of these devices in the background, you know, monitors and things with little, you know, green and red LEDs just to indicate that they're on and powered. They just, all of those shut off in a wave heading toward him.
Love it.
Yeah, that's great. And as he sort of gets torn down and gets back on his knees, he holds his back up, his head up towards the lot of you and says,
"This is pointless. What are you trying to achieve here?"
And he would specifically look at Mr. Olympic, I'd say, and say,
"Mitch, come on. You've worked for me for a long time. You know that removing me won't change anything, right? What is your goal here?"
"Honestly, Douglas, I just want to hurt you."
Oh, that's such a good point.
God, I wish Wacky was awake right now. You would get influence over me so fast.
Oh, that's such a good line.
That is.
I think this would count as him telling you who you are.
All right.
Like, you're not a child character, so adults don't automatically have influence over you.
He's my boss.
But I'd say he definitely has, yeah. Unless you rejected him. Okay, nice. Yeah, then roll for that.
Nice. Okay, 7 on the die.
7 on the die, all right. Then you get to choose one.
Okay, I am 100% cleaner condition.
Makes sense, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cleaner condition by immediately acting to prove him wrong.
Yeah, I'm clean afraid.
Yeah, I like
Hell
that.
Hell yeah.
Come on, Douglas. Have you ever killed anyone? I'm not talking about pushing a button, giving an order, denying a claim. Have you ever gotten your hands dirty? Because I have. And he's going to pull out a hockey stick and just send a...
Again, want to remind everyone, you do have guns. Okay, continue.
Yeah. I'm going to shoot a couple pucks against his head. But this actually is not an attack. I'm provoking him. I want him to stay on me.
Okay, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Okay, then roll for provoke someone.
Okay. My superior is 1. I'm... Whoa, 11 on the die.
Nice. Man, you're rolling too well. You're rolling too well, all of you. So on a 10 plus, they rise to the bait and do what you want. Okay, yeah.
Get me, buddy. Prove me wrong.
You see that the generator that came out of his back kind of plugs back in, and you see like a pulse going through the entire robot's body, and he gets back up on his feet and says,
"I don't see the big difference. If I do it with my own hands, or if I do it with your hands."
And you see that at the sides of the feet of the robot body, two like turbines pop out, and you see like nitro glow from inside, as he Iron Giant style flies at you with his clawed hand extended and basically goes straight for your throat.
Awesome.
You have achieved what you wanted to achieve. I would say technically this would be taking a powerful blow, but if someone wants to intercept or defend, they can definitely try that. Or if you want to directly engage as a part of the situation.
I have an idea.
Okay, but before we hear your idea... I have an option too, which is my never give up, never surrender move.
Ooh.
Okay.
so I can use this to get him, get an advantage. But I want to hear what JPG was thinking.
So, I can, if I choose to hit Doug Dreamer, and that protects Mr. Olympic, is that a direct?
Yeah, I would say that's still a defend. Like, I'd say that's still a defend.
I can, okay. I'd like to defend. I've got a move for defending, actually, okay. That I haven't, okay. I don't think I've used yet.
Actually, that's perfect, because I did want to go after you for this round, so that's perfect.
Okay. All right, nice.
Yeah, I've got a move. I know what I am. Once per scene, when I defend a teammate, I can shift Savior up and another label down in addition to any other benefits. I think that means it happens after I roll, but it says even on a miss. So first I will roll to defend. Do I get a plus one for having influence over Mr. Olympic if this is defending Mr. Olympic?
I'd say so. It's defend someone. So okay. You're using the move on him.
Okay. That's good enough for me. Good, because I rolled a 5. That brings it up to plus 2 with that influence. So that is a 7.
Okay, and you get to move Savior up and something else down?
Yes, I am moving Savior up and I am moving Freak down.
That works. Okay, what are you doing?
Okay, I am... I think I'm actually just tackling Mr. Olympic to get him out of the way.
Okay, yeah. He's basically jumping at Mr. Olympic, and you get Mr. Olympic out of
actually,
the way.
Actually,
right?
I'm sorry. It's way cooler if I'm tackling Doug Dreamer to divert him. So that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, yeah. You do that. You jump up. You don't get the... You get to expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation?
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely exposing myself to danger.
Okay, yeah. That happens. You toss him to the side... And basically you both slam into the side of this amphitheater and kind of fall down a couple stairs as Mr. Olympic kind of stands there and just kind of watches as that happens. And you basically end up in a position where you basically jumped into a massive robot and then flew to the side. You're like kind of dazed at this point. And Doug Dreamer's robot suit is standing on top of you and you hear him sigh and say, I had such high hopes in your franchising potential. And I think this is a situation where you just mark a condition as he wails on you.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna mark angry.
That makes sense.
Seems appropriate.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, my move also adds one team to the pool.
Hey, we have another team. JPG, you wanted to do something. Is this a good point for that?
Yes. So on panel, as Beck is getting beat down, all you see is another Longhorn hit Doug Dreamer. And so what I want to do is, so are you watching closely when you mislead, distract, or trick someone, roll plus superior? So on a hit, they're fooled, at least for a moment. So what I want to do is I want to make copies of Longhorn, but where these Longhorn copies make contact, like whether they're horns or wherever, that's where I put a layer of nanobots. So it's actually physically making contact every time they hit.
Yeah, I'd say you can roll for that.
Yeah.
Are you watching closely?
Okay.
He is wailing down on one of them, which kind of, makes the decision for him a little easier. But
yes.
You can definitely, confuse him.
That is... I rolled a 9 plus superior. That's plus 1.
Jeez.
So that's a 10.
All right. Yeah, on a 10, choose 3.
Okay. Number 1, I'm going to avoid further entanglement.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2 is I'm going to expose a weakness or flaw. And then number 3, I get an opportunity.
I'd say what happens here is he gets attacked by all of these Longhorns, and he is ultimately aware that that's your power set, that you can do that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you're all his team, and he definitely knows what kind of things you're capable of. So he doesn't let it distract him for too long. But something that definitely happens here is as these nanobot versions attack him, You see that there is one moment where he like lets off of Becca and turns around to attack these nanobot copies, which you avoid further entanglement. He doesn't go for you or for Becca at this moment. But you both expose a weakness or a flaw and get an opportunity, because the moment you did that is when they basically attacked that spot that's like basically a line down his back where that generator came out of.
Okay.
Right behind his head appears to be a weak point in that robot suit, or that robot he's currently using. So you figure out if you attack him from the back, he can't really see what's happening there, and there appear to be some weaknesses of some sort.
Without Doug Dreamer noticing, I mark the weak spot with nanobots. So like it's like a they're like big red arrows and all this stuff.
It's Zelda boss shit.
Yes,
very clearly visible where to hit.
Exactly right. It's like yellow high vis tape in like climbing games and.
Yeah. So basically, you reveal this this spot that is visible to everyone else now.
Yeah, and then. So while I do that, I'm kind of just slowly walking towards wherever Wacky had dropped.
Yeah,
because I'm like, I marked the part. Somebody else can get it. Like,
yeah, for sure. Astro Girl, I'd say, is still standing sort of at the side as all of this happens. She seems reluctant to engage on her own in the situation. Holding the spear, you kind of revealed that weak point to her, and she kind of asks like, what am I supposed to do?
I mean, I don't know. Like, did you not think that it was going to get to this point? Either hit the dude or find your clone body? I don't know.
That's something you noticed. That doesn't seem to be, like, you haven't seen anything like that in here yet.
Oh.
At least in this room, there is no clone of Astro Girl.
Interesting.
So what is the spear made of?
It should be made of, like, at least visually, it appears to be made of steel.
Okay. Could I potentially, like, control that?
That should be possible, okay. Yeah. So you want to directly engage a threat?
Yes, I think so. I think I'm going to tell Astro Girl to throw it, and then I'm going to make sure it hits.
Okay, yeah. Roll for that, then.
That's a 6.
Nice. Nice.
Hold on. I can assist. I actually have 2 holds specifically to help Ecstatic. Because I shared a vulnerability with her earlier. So I think what I'm going to do to assist is to, still kind of being in melee with Doug Dreamer, I'm going to grab him and turn him so that his back is toward Astro Girl to assist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the positioning is just better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that brings you to a 7. Pick one.
I'm going to say take something from them in that, like, the outer panel is going to come loose, and we basically get access to the insides.
Okay, you toss that spear, or like Astro Girl tosses that spear, you direct that spear, and it like wedges itself in there, and with your magnetism you can kind of like use it like a crowbar to break off a good bit of that armor. Something that Doug Dreamer definitely notices as it comes in.
Oh, it's like Scorpion in Mortal Kombat. The spear goes in and you use magnetism to pull it out, and it takes the panel with it.
Yeah, Dreamer definitely notices it and is kind of like pulled backwards as well by the force of that. And his head basically rolls in the tube towards y'all and away from Longhorn, towards Ecstatic in particular. And he says, I should have never trusted an outside contractor to do a superhero's job. And he holds up his arm in the direction of Ecstatic, and you see that, like, it folds in and out into something that looks like a gun, which he fires at you, and there's, again, not really a visual to that, in the same way that your EMP was. It appears to be a specific weapon meant to deal with your powers. It comes straight at you, and you feel that, like, you definitely have your armor or, like, your supersuit built to interact with your magnetic powers.
Yeah.
And so there's, like, a lot of metal on it that you can use to magnetize, demagnetize, and stuff like that. And basically what he's using against you now is something similarly magnetic. So basically you feel your feet feel like they're stuck to the ground. You feel like you're being pulled back. It seems to like kind of counteract your magnetic abilities. And I'd say you mark a condition.
I'm gonna mark afraid.
Fair, yes. He, after kind of disabling ecstatic, you see him kind of screaming in anger for a moment. And he says,
"It doesn't make sense. Think for a second. You cannot defeat the nation of Dreamland. You're a team of a couple of freaks. What can you do?"
And I think at that moment, Troubledore reaches Wacky, whomst, I'm assuming, is undergoing another transformation.
I am, yeah. When Troubledore gets over to me, I am, like, covered in just, like, a thick layer of frost and ice. And I'm not moving. I'm probably going to need help, like, waking up.
So just, I would just, like, if it's safe, I would just, like, wipe it all off from, like, wherever your face area is. And I'm like, "Hey, are you, you good?"
And notably, previously, my eyes have not been able to move. Like, my face is just hard plastic. And you watch my eyes roll towards you. And I go, "I'm fine." And I'm going to put my hands on the ground to, like, push myself up. Except when I put my hands on the ground and, like, push up, my arms kind of bend without my body moving, and you all see that I have now moved animation styles, basically, like, really becoming the, like, classic version of Wacky Cat, and I'm full rubber hose animation now. I don't have joints. I don't have elbows. I'm just rubber. And I look down and I'm like, "Well, that's new."
And then just Troubledore's like, "Yeah, I'm out," and just takes a seat.
I'm gonna plant my feet on the ground and then just, like, full body roll up, but, like, full body roll. So, like, shins come up, then knees, then thighs, and just, like, roll all the way up. So with this, I'm clearing afraid, guilty, and hopeless. I'm still angry. I'm always going to be angry. I have to choose three from the list to change. So I'm changing my physical appearance, swapping an ability with another one from the playbook. So I'm changing no longer have superhuman senses. So we don't have that, like, tremor sense anymore. But I do have transmutable flesh now.
That makes sense, yeah.
And I think I'm going to forget an aspect of my humanity. Not having, like, that tie to, like, you know, my typical human form, you know, having joints and such. My body no longer resembles human in any capacity. I'm going to, like, just lose that part of myself. Like, I lose even the way to move as a human. I'm not, like, walking. I'm kind of bouncing, and I'm gonna, like, get down on all fours and then just, like, run with my limbs all askew and bent. And I go, "We might be freaks, Dreamer, but you're a monster."
Nice.
And I want to basically wrap myself, limbs stretchy and rubbery, and I just want to restrain him.
I would still say that's directly engaging a threat, because you're creating opportunity or taking something from them.
Cool. Do we think that that's directly engaging a threat in a terrifying fashion?
Yeah, okay. I'd say so.
Cool, I'll trigger not human enough again.
Yeah, do that. Mark a condition again, sure.
I'm going to take insecure because this is weird. I'm glad I chose to do not human enough because I rolled a 3 plus 1. So that's a 4.
Yikes. Okay, so you get to at least pick one.
I want to create an opportunity. I'm restraining him so my teammates can just get a shit ton of hits in. It's like that meme where like you see like two people kicking someone on the ground. I feel like I'm doing that. Like I'm kicking and then giving the opportunity for someone else to come in and, you know, continue kicking.
You do that and you hear him make noises like he's trying to free himself. This is definitely like a power set of yours that he is not prepared for. As you kind of tie him down and he kind of stumbles around and his head begins shouting at you and saying, "You call me a monster? I can't imagine anything more monstrous, more disgustingly inhuman than you." And yeah, he tells you who you are, I think, or how the world works.
I assume he's shifting Freak up.
Yes, he's definitely trying that.
I'm going to fail the roll to resist, so I might as well just take the condition now. So I'll shift Freak up, but I can't, so I'll just mark a condition.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to put Hopeless.
That's fair. What do you not have marked yet? I think only one, right?
Freed and Guilty right now.
Okay.
Yeah, even if I beat Dreamer, he's right. I am horrifyingly inhuman. And I'm like, I'm never going to go back to being anything resembling okay again. But I'm also angry and I'm like, nah, fuck that shit. Like, I may never be human again, but I'm going to fucking wreck this man on my way out. And I want to, like, Wacky does not typically have a neck that is visible, but somehow it's going to, like, appear and elongate. And I'm going to wrap my neck around his head and, like, put my face right up against his, like, in front of the glass. And anytime he moves to try to, like, look somewhere else, I'm just going to keep my face right in front of his. Like, smashed face in on one side, the mouth hanging slightly open, dripping this, like, clear, glittery, silvery liquid. I am restraining and blocking him as much as I can.
Yeah.
I will take every hit possible, but yeah.
That will give someone else the opportunity to use the exposed weak point and do whatever you feel is right.
I would love to take that opportunity.
For sure.
I think with Doug Dreamer, I always like start to say Doug and then that just feels weird. So I have to add the Dreamer.
With Mr. Dreamer.
With this asshole
with Papa D,
distracted.
As we like to say.
I think Longhorn is going to take a few steps back and, like, lower her head, paw at the ground a little with one of her hoofs and snort. And I think there's something that she's done every time she's like, charged someone before is she's always hit them with the flat side, hit them straight on because her horns kind of go off to the side. And so she's used them to kind of, like, collide with or corral or push around her opponents when she charges into someone. But she's going to lower her head and turn it so that the point of the horn of one of her horns is angled right at the weak spot on Dreamer's back, and she's going to charge him. And
yeah, directly engage.
All right.
And I'd say the collateral damage thing is definitely applicable here.
I've been waiting to bring that up. I have a specific idea for what that collateral damage is.
All right.
That is a, like a machine in the room that's like a database or like a rack of hard drives of, you know, genetic information that they had on hand to use for the Osiris pod.
All right, do it.
Yep, that is a 7, and my plus 1 danger makes that an 8.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, on a 7 to 9, I can pick one, but since I'm causing significant collateral damage, I get to choose an additional option.
Yeah, pick 2.
I'm going to resist or avoid his blows and...
Makes sense.
Impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition. Because I think I'm going to lower my head and I'm going to say, monstrous ain't something you are. It's something you do, and we're done doing your dirty work. And charge through him, piercing into the insides with my horn and shoving him across the room until we hit a like rack of hard drives of historical, you know, genetic information from the previous Osiris pod research.
Yeah. Yeah, it starts flying everywhere. The different disks from the hard drive being spread out through the room in like this explosion as you like push him as well as Wacky along with your horn and like ram him. You're on this like circular step of the amphitheater and you like run towards him and basically take him out all the way around.
Yes.
Through all of the devices and stacks that are standing there, like until you ultimately come to a halt when you realize that robot suit has stopped moving. And you feel the stinging sensation of electricity on your head as you've pierced both generators inside, completely shutting it down. As soon as you pull back, the suit falls over and lays there on the ground, the tank on its head, the only thing that's still intact. And you manage to disarm it. You resist or avoid blows. The head inside has basically fallen over to the side and is laying like on the side of the tube now. And you can see as it slightly turns around, it is clearly just a head. Like you see that there's wires coming out of the bottom of it. And it sort of like painfully and slowly turns around to face all of you and says,
"Now come on. I'm sure we can talk about this."
"Yeah, let's talk. What can you offer?"
Chubbledore in the back just like, "Just murder him."
"Now, see, killing me won't do anything. There won't be a big difference as a result of that. You'll just create more strife and power struggle, and ultimately nothing will change. I can give you things. I can offer you things. I've been offering you things all along. What do you want? Money? The rights to your superhero identity? Research? Information? Just whatever."
"Honestly, the thing I want most of anything is just spike your stupid head."
"All right. Are there other options? Any other voices? Dissenting voices?"
I think Max is also coming up now, and I think the way she dealt with the suit was just taking it off. So it's now sort of in undergarments, I guess. And says, "So what good can you do for the world, Doug Dreamer?"
"What good can I do for the world? The good I've always done for the world. Entertainment, charitable efforts."
"Wrong answer."
Listen, you're not the world, right? You want personal things. I can give you personal things. You can invest the money into, I don't fucking know, Greenpeace or whatever."
Troubledore comes running up. "Oh, cool, personal things?
See, there's someone you can talk to."
"All right, number one, right now, because I know you have the capability to do it, just transfer all of Becca's medical information to us. I mean, if it's, like, cool with you, Becca, like, if that's, like, cool.
Becca looks at, like, the scattered, like, hard drives around the amphitheater. It goes, "Yeah, that's, around.
It's on one of them, I think. One of the scientists.
You have, like, a kajillion dollars. You have to have it, like, in the cloud or something, right?"
"This is secret information that we're keeping from literally everyone.
Okay,
we don't want,
like,
other governments to find out. It's physical only.
Call, like, an underling to find out, dude. I'm not gonna go through all this.
Hey, some of underlings."
And some of the scientists at the corner of the room that have been hiding so far peek out.
"Look if you can find information for this, for Longhorn.
Also, number two, find Wacky's information."
"Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you. I have no idea what this is."
I just start shaking the thing that his head is in.
"Ah, no, I'm being honest here. I have no idea what the hell is wrong with this one."
Wait. "No, okay. You're the one who created it, right? Like, that was, like, you had, like, a hand in it, right? I mean, like, not a hand, like, maybe, like, a head in it, but, like, you know what I mean."
He had his head in the game.
Tess, I swear to God, if you start singing the song.
I didn't. I'm being completely real with you here. I would never have created something like this."
"Okay, well, Wacky, what the heck? Like, who got to make you and stuff then?"
"I have no idea."
But you were working here when it happened, right?
Wait. Waki used to be human?
Well, I assume. Wakis don't just come out of nowhere.
Yes! Okay,
like, I just really need to know if this is, like, a magic situation, if this is a tech situation, if it's a both situation. Like, give me a place to start.
I'm assuming it knows a lot more about that than I do.
Well, man, I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm not. This is cool as hell. Like, and I, like Troubledore genuinely means that.
Okay. The information is being searched for. What else do we want? Can we find a way where you just leave?
Okay, what about, like, money? And then somebody just has to, like, step in order to stop me because I'm
just asking for it. Let him.
Let him cook.
Let him cook.
I think Becca's gonna, like, has just been, like, sitting on one of these amphitheater seats and, like, looks at him and goes, no, we can't just get what we need and let him keep hurting people the way he has been.
Becca, might be. I'm still gonna murder this dude. I just wanna... Like, I came for murder. Like, theft on the side isn't that big of a deal.
Like, Becca frowns and she's like... She's kind of baby's first killing one person to stop them, like, hurting, like, billions of people justified. Like, she's just gonna sit back down.
Yeah, but I don't want to move the trolley.
While this is going on, I'm going to untangle myself from Dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized what the movement that I'm picturing is. It's No Face from Spirited Away. And I basically want to coil myself around the body bag with Starbolt in it. And then I'm going to just start, like, crawling, lunging, bouncing my way towards the elevator. I'm just taking this body out of here.
Dreamer sees that and also hears that you just talked about you're going to kill him anyways. And he responds to that by, like, fruitlessly kind of trying to move in that direction, but his head is trapped in the tube. So... He just does a deep sigh and says, I was really hoping that that'd be a reasonable solution for this. But I guess it's gotta be plan B. And as he says that, you hear a massive and then you see that a hole has been blasted in the side of the room. Rocks fly in there, spreading out, as a bright rainbow light falls in. And you see... Imaginite in full armor, glowing, made of hard light, walking in the room with a bunch of Dreamland personnel behind her in their military uniforms that you've seen before that aren't military, of course. Dreamland doesn't have a military. And she looks at the lot of you, a glowing rainbow bazooka on her arm, and says, all right, step away from Mr. Dreamer.
Come on, honey. You never let me have any fun.
Come on, Mitch. I thought you were smarter than this.
Without turning my body, but I'm going to rotate my head all the way around, I'm going to say, take one more step, and I snap Starbolt's spine. Then Dreamer can't have it.
Damn.
I'd say that's a provoke.
That is a 10 on the die, plus I don't actually have guilty, and provoke is superior.
I think so.
So it's a minus 2, so it's an 8.
I'd say in this situation, it's they overreact, you gain influence over them, and she points the bazooka straight at you and says, snap his neck, and I vaporize yours.
As Dreamer said... I'm terrifying and freaky. I have nothing to live for. And now, neither does he. And I'm going to snap his spine.
Okay. Yeah, you, like, bend it over and we hear a horrible snapping noise. And Dreamer shouts aloud, no! And yeah, she absolutely fires at you. Take a powerful blow.
So that was Boxcars.
All right.
Oh, no.
We love to see it.
Hey, are we cool if Wacky dies? Like, are you all cool if I kill a character on your podcast?
I mean, you can. I think that would definitely fall under Flea Pass Out, etc. also.
I think the bazooka blast is so intense that it, like, knocks me through all, like, the walls and such.
Mm-hmm.
And I just go out the building, and we see me hit the ground in public in Dreamland.
Oh,
and
yes.
The mauled body of the wonderful Wacky has just been blown out by a rainbow blast of light that everyone would know as Imaginite.
It would be live streamed because of the people we got to film.
Oh, right. Yes.
If you want to make... okay, this is slightly more gruesome, but I had this imagery of you being like impaled on a Ferris wheel.
I love that.
It's just slowly going slowly around.
Yeah, slowly going around. And like people in the cabins next to where you just got impaled on it, like screaming in terror.
And I like that because I think like it is raining that like glittery silvery blood, just almost like teardrops just falling down off my...
This podcast is actually rated mature, so we can absolutely describe it like that.
Yeah, I think we see the wonderful Wacky mask and cape like wrapped around its body, just impaled on this Ferris wheel, dripping blood, arms kind of like stretched down below it. And I think I die.
And in the background, there's like a, you know, Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 sounding ass version of When You Dream Upon a Sun playing from the Ferris wheel.
Oh, God.
And we flash back into the room where Imaginite points the bazooka at Mr. Olympic and says, one wrong move.
So I assume there's still a lot of metal around us.
Yes.
What I'm trying to do now is maybe create induction heat, like heat up the metal around us through, you know, like electromagnetic waves, and then just create a scorching heat here, also in the hopes of maybe cooking Duck Dreamer, who seems to need it cold.
I'm gonna say we'll do that in a second. Okay. I would just want to give Mr. Olympic a chance to interact.
Okay. Sure.
Sharon, I wasn't kidding when I said that I'm ready to die, okay? I want to do something right before I go. Don't force me to take you with me.
This is what you choose for something right? Dethroning the ruler of a nation, creating political turmoil, murdering someone? I thought you were past that.
Why? That's what I've been doing the past 5 years.
And you told me you wanted it to change. I believed you. I'd say she's telling you who you are.
Yeah. What is she trying to change?
She's trying to shift down your savior and up your danger.
You know what? I'm gonna take it.
Okay.
You know, maybe you're right. Maybe it's too late for me. Maybe that hurting people is all I'm good for. And I'm going to... Hey, you in the back. I'm addressing the armed man behind her. You know who I am, and you know what I do. Put down your weapons right now, and I won't have to do it to you.
God damn.
I'm going to try to use my symbol of authority, which okay. Unfortunately I roll on plus savior.
Yeah, do that.
Okay, it's a... 7. Barely. They do what I say, get out of my way, attack me at a disadvantage, or freeze.
I think attack on a disadvantage is the thing that makes the most sense here, because they're being led by someone who has the same reputation as you.
That makes sense.
But they're definitely like intimidated a little. You see them like looking at each other, and a few of them like slightly lower their guns before Imaginite snaps her fingers and says, hey, he's not the only one with a reputation. And she... points the gun a little bit higher towards your face and says, if you're gonna act like a rabid murderous dog, I'll put you down like one.
Damn, we were made for one another.
Oh, that's so good. I have one more dumbass attempt in order to just get all of us out of here as safely as possible.
If you have an idea of something that would intercept that, do it. But I think her next step would be just to fire at Mr. Olympic's face.
Oh, God. Luca, what do we want? Do we want the drama?
I mean, drama's always good.
I'm cool with whatever.
You know what? No, because I don't want to take away Mr. Olympic's last stand. So, Troubledore's been, like, a little bit of a little scamp, and I feel like he thinks he's doing the right thing here, but I feel like this is going to be up to the audience now at this point. Okay, I grab Beck and I grab Astro Girl.
Okay.
And I get them out of there before all the shooting starts.
I would say that's up to Longhorn.
What do you think?
She's, like, shell-shocked from what just happened to Wacky. I don't think she's going to fight.
Yeah. I'm going to take Becca. I'm taking Astro Girl. I'm taking Doug Drooper's head.
Yes.
And we're just peacing out.
Okay, so the head is a thing. Like, it's still attached. That is a heavy, massive thing.
Oh, it doesn't, like...
It doesn't pop off, no. It's definitely meant to be protective.
I just assumed it popped off.
No.
Oh, God. Okay, well, then that's not a big thing. But what I'm going to do is... Okay, I'm going to grab Becca. I'm going to grab Astro Girl. Get him out of there. But on my way out, I'm definitely dropping nanobots in order to infiltrate whatever tech is inside of that freaking Doug Dreamer helmet thing.
Actually, I would just like to play out this scene because I have a really cool idea for something that could happen.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, okay.
Like, you grab Longhorn and you grab Astro Girl and you basically turn to run.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, Imagine Knight turns her gun away from Mr. Olympic and moves it over towards you, basically creating an opportunity for Mr. Olympic.
Oh, that's so good.
Okay, I have just the thing for the occasion. The adult move I unlocked the last two sessions ago.
Oh, yeah.
Overwhelm a vulnerable foe.
Oh, yeah, the adult move.
Roll plus danger.
Your danger was just raised. Do it.
Just plus two. 7 on the die. Plus 2. 9.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you could say... Troubledore is distracting.
And I would say you have influence over her.
Oh, my God.
And she has influence over you. So that's a plus 1.
Okay, oh, so perfect. 10. Well, on a hit, the fight's over. They're done.
On a 10 plus, choose 1.
I'm going to cause serious collateral damage.
Okay, what do you do? What do you do in that moment where she's distracted by aiming the gun at someone else?
I'm going to throw a baseball. And it goes past her. She turns towards me. She sees it with the corner of the eye. She turns towards me. She shoots. But in the moment she's hitting the trigger, the ball bounces back against two corners of the wall and hits her right behind the ear. And the shot goes wild.
The shot goes down and expands in all directions as she basically is distracted enough to, like, these are all constructs she created. She basically loses control of that shot, and it causes this massive explosion at the side of the room, throwing her and everyone else back. She basically gets, like, flung towards the ceiling of the room. There's a cracking noise as she hits it, and then she falls back down to the ground. And you see that all of her summoned armor and her summoned weapon, like, evaporate, which you know from experience happens when she loses consciousness.
Shit, Sharon!
It's a lightning fast moment, and all of the soldiers around her are being thrown against the wall and are basically out of this fight as well. And yeah.
Honestly, this is kind of my point to disappear. So I want to, like, grab all the tapes grab all the info that the minion scientists found for me. And I turn to Beck and I turn to Astro Girl and I'm like, hey, look, this is about as bad as it's gonna get, and I'm gonna dip. He for real means, like, he's just gonna disappear off the grid at this point. I can keep working on this, and Becca, if you don't want to come with me, then don't come with. But I promise you, when we keep working on this, do you both want to come with me or not?
Becca, like, looks for just a second, looks back and forth between Mr. Olympic and Troubledore, and just tears in her eyes, nods.
What is Mr. Olympic doing when she looks at him?
Well, I think he is kneeling next to Sharon, trying to like see how badly she's hurt, but he looks at Becca. You can see he's conflicted, because he, on one hand, he would like to go with her. On the other hand, Sharon needs medical attention.
I look at Mr. Olympic, I give him like a salute. It's not like a, it's not a cheeky thing that he's doing. Mm. It's really like a, like, you got to do your thing, I'm doing mine. I'm at least trying to take somebody to safety on the way out. Like, please understand.
I think Astro Girl is also looking around between the two of you. You see, she's extremely conflicted. She's been extremely conflicted this entire time. She's still holding that weird shield, even if the spear has been thrown out, and you see that she's, the shield is like gliding out of her hand and falling to the ground with a clang. And as she looks at Troubledore's eyes one more time, you see there's something like genuine fear in there from this whole situation. And she moves her lips, but words won't come out, and it takes her a second to say, "I can't do this." And she disappears into the ground.
Aww.
Moving through the floor.
That's sad. So yeah, I take Beck and we run.
I would also like to say something to Becca.
Yeah, Max, what are you doing?
Yeah. I'm going to look at Becca and say, so whether the whole reversal works or not, you go be happy, or I'm going to be really mad at you.
Aww.
Oh, sorry.
I know.
Yeah, nods, ecstatic, tears streaming down her face. I think what's going through Becca's head right now is like, she's conflicted, wants to like do the heroic thing and like jump in, and also knows that Mr. Olympic would like want her to go and be safe, and like, on some level, she's just like, realizes that like, she just wants to go, and is like, feels guilty that that's the impulse that's leading her, but she just wants to not be here, and is like, that's where she's going.
Yeah, and with that, you two can leave. Mr. Olympic, do you want to provide that medical attention? You look down at Imaginite, unconscious. You also see that blood is leaking out of multiple points of her under uniform. You can definitely try to, like, provide medical attention here.
All right.
Yeah, I'd say this is less of a thing where you have to make a move. It's just, unless you have a specific move for that, otherwise it's just a thing where you, like, it takes a while. You're basically busy with that for now.
Perfect.
And Max also can do something.
Yes, so Dag Dreamer is still in his bowl, I guess.
Yes, he's still there on the ground looking around.
Yeah, I think I would like to go through with my plan of just heating up the bowl.
You can do that, yeah. You can definitely raise the temperature in here.
Because I assume that he does need the cold to...
Yeah.
I guess survive in there, even if that might not be the correct word for it.
You see the frost sort of slowly disappearing on his face. And even before it starts, he's like, all right, you're making your point. What do you want? It appears that you're the only one I've left to bargain with.
Yeah, I kind of think the time to bargain is over.
Okay, what will it be then? Regicide?
Well, that would assume that I would want to take the throne, which I don't. So I guess you disappear and the wolves will fight over whatever is left of this shitty, shitty country.
Okay, so what? You kill me? You end my almost over life that I can't restore anyways?
You know what? You should be thinking of this as mercy then, you know. End your suffering.
Try to think of it that way. Try to absolve your mind of murder. I've tried many times, and believe me, it does not get easier. And I'd say he tries to tell you who you are and how the world works.
That is fair. What is he trying to do?
He's trying to shift up your danger and shift down your savior.
I accept that. I think I'm going to keep going until Duck Dreamer is no more.
Okay. You continue heating up the room. You see him start to heave, and he says, "Come on, if you're going to kill me, just do it already. Don't turn this into a slow torture. What's the point? You know what the result of this is going to be. There's cameras in this room. They're going to follow you. They're going to follow you forever. I'm the only one who can call it off. Do you understand that?"
I think I'm going to shoot a lightning at him for the end of it.
Okay, you put him down.
Yes.
Silence falls over the room after a small thunderous blast. And the head stops moving.
So there are still medical supplies around, I assume?
Yeah, there should be.
I assume there's also some sort of alcohol-based disinfectant.
Yeah.
Because I would also like to burn the body of Starbolt.
Yeah, you can do that. You can definitely move over to the body bag and open it up. And you see that there is a dead body in there that might be Starbolt's body. It is hard to tell because it doesn't have a head.
Fair enough.
The head has been removed.
This is inconvenient.
I remember him being taller.
Yeah, I think at this point you've gotten Imaginite as stable as you're going to get her. And you can move over to Max.
Olympic walks by, takes a look at the cooked head of Duck Dreamer. So it's over.
Well, a part of it is. I assume we're going to have more trouble down the road.
You hear sirens from outside. There's people gathering there. You hear shouting. There's a hole blown into the side of the building now, which allows you to hear stuff. And you see in the distance the searchlights of helicopters coming closer.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to burn the body.
Just yeah, you can do that. That wouldn't take long. You can definitely just like pour. There's probably also like specifically just ethanol here.
Yeah.
That you and can I mean, pour I can over just and
create a few sparks and fire.
Yeah, the lights in the room have at this point been destroyed enough that they don't work anymore anyways. So as you burn the body, all the light you have there is the erratic light of the flames.
You know, I met Starbolt. We played tennis for charity and he let me win. It was a class act.
That's what I heard about him. You know, I've also met a Starbolt.
So she's actually the real Starbolt?
Yes.
Nice. It's good to know there's a new one.
I can assure you she's also a class act.
You hear shouting from the outside, coming from the helicopters, not close enough yet to make out the exact wording.
So, you want to use those zip lines of yours one more time?
I was going to ask you if you could fly, but yeah, that's an option.
Well, not yet.
Let's get out of here.
You make your way down the building, basically back into the parking lot. All of the people outside are still, like, there's a lot of confusion. There's some people here who see what's happening, but there doesn't seem to be a military response or anything like that that's exactly here yet. The confusion should basically allow you to escape off-road.
Are there children crying and screaming? Because I would like there to be children crying and screaming because, you know, the wonderful wacky
for sure
fucking mauled.
Yeah,
for sure. I'm assuming on the other side of the building, but it's definitely happening. Screaming, loud noises. You even hear like fire sirens in the distance. And as you two use the confusion to make your escape, you hear an exasperated voice calling out to you.
Max. And the only person who seems to have specifically noticed you two running away comes at you, or the only people, your mom and Rex. Your mom, who you're not familiar with calling you by your shortened first name, but who appears very exhausted and is making use of all the syllables she can actually say. What happened? What's going on?
Well, I assume chaos. Chaos is going on.
Why did you come here? First you didn't want to, then you didn't want to under me. Why couldn't you just stay away?
You know what? That is a very good question, and I think from now on I am going to stay away.
You see Rex walking past his mom towards you and sort of looking you up and down, putting his hands on your shoulders, and you see that there's like, he's shaking a little, and he's saying, I know you're not all right, but are you all right?
Well, I'm not maimed or anything, so I guess?
That's not what I mean.
I think you're going to have to ask me that in a few hours.
Yeah, I guess. He turns around to his mom as well and says, sorry for coming here with her, by the way. When I figured out that you disappeared from the train, I thought she did it, so I went to her.
I mean, she kind of did, I suppose.
He looks at her again and says, well, I guess I gotta talk to you about that then later, too.
Oh, I have a lot to talk about.
Beatrix seems pretty exasperated as she walks up to all of you, and she turns towards Mr. Olympic and says, come on, you're... She hasn't done anything too bad, has she? Nothing that would reflect too bad on me?
Well, Beatrix, can I call you Bea?
I don't care what you call me.
Your daughter just killed that dreamer.
She slowly blinks and falls down to her knees. And she doesn't have words.
I think I'm gonna kneel next to her, take her hand. Hey, no. This is a good thing.
How is that a good thing?
I get really close, and I kind of whisper in her ear, now there's room at the top.
Her brow furrows, and she closes her eyes and slowly opens them again and says,
I need to make some calls.
Oh, can I use your phone? I should probably sell my Dreamland stock.
As Mr. Olympic keeps her distracted, Max and Rex can easily leave.
Yes, I think that's what we're going to do.
And I think that's kind of the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. So I think this is where we'll end this arc. That's Dream Squad.
Baby's first murder.
Yeah, Max has committed murder. We have ended Dream Squad the only way it could have, with no Dream Squad anymore. Mm-hmm. No dreamer anymore, even. Wow, okay, yeah, this went different than I thought, honestly. I did not expect this to end with Max straight up murdering Dr. Dreamer. I actually didn't intend this to end with anyone murdering Dr. Dreamer originally. But I'm wildly glad this is where it went. Yeah, this arc was a wild one.
By the way, I'm so here for the... like super villain power grab arc of Max's mother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially like because it's kind of hinting like it's gonna be a super villain power grab arc for Max's mother and Mr. Olympic. Like great. I kind of love that idea.
I mean, he's in the market for a new beard. So.
I was thinking about it throughout the arc, and I'm so glad that Mr. Olympic went there.
Yeah. Like Mr. Olympic doing the power grab at the end. Or at least participating in it. Like, first of all, brings in a potential, okay, here we have someone who can clean up that they're going to chase us forever thing. Mm-hmm. It brings up a lot of stuff. It's very cool.
And I think wow. It also might be an explanation why Max is not going to get immediately arrested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Max definitely has to flee the country in a way that won't be, like, noticed.
Yeah.
This is something we can definitely get into next episode.
So how was your holiday?
Great holiday. Amazing.
Yeah. Everybody had a great holiday. Amazing.
Killed a dictator.
Yeah.
Very relaxing.
So fun. So, I hope all the guests had fun being on this podcast.
Howdy,
yes.
This was so much fun.
Fantastic.
Thank you for having us.
There's definitely options in the future of your characters coming back for something, an episode or two, or whatever. Definitely flirting with that. I'm so glad that I got to play with you all. You were all amazing. It was a great time. This arc was... It developed in ways I could never have foreseen in the best way. It turned out a little bit longer than originally planned, as they always do.
I mean, it does take time to overthrow a government and kill its leader, I guess.
And I did try to give, every one of you a full arc of sorts in this, which did extend everything a little bit. But I'm, again, very glad that I got to have you on. Very much looking forward to someday having you back on. And, yeah, I'm glad you were part of Waypoint now.
Yeah, me too. Aww. This was wonderful. Incredible experience.
I loved it. Thank you so much.
Yee. Also talking about a wonderful, amazing experience. It was for me. It was also very hard to edit because there were a lot of people on and all of that. So after this comes out, just announcing this here, there's going to be a short little break of Waypoint. The next two times that a new episode would release, there won't be a new episode, but we'll be back after that. So no new episodes for a month, and then Waypoint will come back for the next arc, or for the in-between episode to the next arc, which you can look forward to. It's going to be a bit more low-key again. We can't extend further outwards from overthrowing a dictatorship for the immediate time. But the team will be back together, and I'm hoping you're looking forward to that. Once again, all of you, where can people find you?
You can find me, Dana Alexa, on Twitter and co-host at AuthorX. You can find me on the podcast Super Idols RPG, playing Valerie, a.k.a. Violence Violet.
Amazing name. Wonderful. I love it.
Oh, thank you. I'm very proud of it.
I'm JPG. You can find me on social media at SpeakerJPG, where my link tree is. I am a... If you ever need help with your content creation needs, look up intermyth.org. And then what else? What shows am I on? I'm on Moon Harbor Heroes with Tiss. Thank you, Tiss. And you can find me there. I'm on Nerds on a Roll. I do a weekly live stream called The Welcome Party on Monday evenings Pacific time. And yeah, just follow me on social media. You'll be able to find all of that there.
I am Tess. I am on Moon Harbor Heroes, one of the producers and GMs on that. You can find me online at Tessatrix. That's Tessatrix. Sometimes there's a second X, depending on what site you're looking at. And that's me.
I am Luca. You can find me on Super Idols RPG, alongside Dana, playing Alemikuchi, alias Queen Bee.
Yeah. Queen Bee is what brought all of us together. I mean, kind of. Queen Bee is definitely the reason we first brought Luca on, and because we brought Luca on, we by extension brought Dana on, so Queen Bee is definitely a big reason.
I do love Queen Bee as well.
Same. One day we will have the parallel universe story, the universe meeting story, where Queen Bee can be directly cruel to Max. Not just on Twitter.
Hi, I'm Mimi, and I actually recently revived my Tumblr account.
Cool.
Which is The Sage of Dissolution with dashes in between each word. So you can find me there. I don't know, I talk about podcasts, I guess.
I'm Jules. I'm the Game Master, as I always say at the beginning. I'm also Burning Oleander everywhere, pretty much. I'm on Twitter, where I post my stupid thoughts about Magic the Gathering and podcasts and tabletop RPGs and everything, or about how I think that Batman is a terrible lover. I'm also on Tumblr at Burning Oleander, where I do basically the same thing and reblog a bunch of memes all the time. I'm on Instagram, also Burning Oleander, where I post pictures of my miniature painting that I do. And I'm on this podcast and sometimes on other podcasts, so keep an eye open for that. And if you don't just want to find us, but find the music, you can find that on Bandcamp. I'm Persky has made our theme song. You can also find it on free music archive sites where we get a lot of the public domain music we use. If you want to talk to us as a group, you can find us at Waypoint Pod on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Tumblr. Twitter is definitely the most active one, but Tumblr is also pretty active. We're also on Blue Sky now. We're trying to be as active there as we are on Twitter. So if you've managed to snag a Blue Sky invite code, that's also one way to find us. I think that's mainly the stuff we talk about in these episodes.
Insert joke about Twitter being X.
Yeah, we did that last episode. We're not going to give that any more airspace. We're going to just ignore that from now on. And if you, I don't know, also want to ignore that, I guess, and listen to more of our podcast, you can hear from us again in 6 weeks, right here where you're listening to us right now on your podcasting platform of choice. And until then, from the former Dream Squad, bye-bye.
Bye.
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 We enter a room, lit by dim blue lighting. The walls and floor are black and reflective, and multiple monitors are set to different scenes. An older man sits in front of them, fast-forwarding through footage as a woman in a gray suit intently looks over his shoulder. All right, this should be far enough. What do we have to deal with? A collage of footage is shown on one of the monitors. A group of heroes fighting a man in a robot suit. Fast forward. A young woman shooting a lightning bolt out of her hand, ending all that remained of the life of Doug Dreamer. I know that part already. Get to the important bits. Another monitor starts playing its footage. A young cowgirl, in both senses of the word, anxiously looks around as a young man with a winning smile and a cool haircut steals a boat. After some prodding, she comes aboard, ready to sail away to an island off the shore. They might be able to cure her affliction yet. Uninteresting to us, they're out of the picture. Next. On another screen, a girl hides her star-spangled superhero costume under a cloak that's just fashionable enough to not draw unwanted attention. She is waiting at a train stop, ready to board her way out of the country. She is still struggling with her identity, but perhaps the woman she's been cloned from has answers for her, if she can be found. As the train passes by, the girl vanishes. Boarding is easy for her. She won't tell her story in public, but keep an eye on that. Okay, what else? Sirens wail, and red and blue lights flicker around one of the amusement park sections near Dreamland HQ. A leaking body is pierced on a Ferris wheel, lowered down to the ground. Emergency medical workers shrug and shake their heads in their attempts to figure out what makes something like this creature alive or dead. Come on, don't waste my time on a dead mascot. And before you waste my time with that too, we're already in talks with Mr. Olympic. He'll keep quiet in exchange for certain benefits. Give me the last one. A young man and a young woman are running across a beach, a drone following their steps from high above. When the lights of a car pass by, briefly illuminating a red superhero costume with electric blue highlights, they quickly hide in the weeds. They're getting closer and closer to the border in the north, but their way won't be short or easy. There she is, our leak. Is this footage up to date? The man nods. The woman straightens her jacket and quickly makes her way to the exit. Then she really is the only loose end we have to deal with. Really didn't think she'd blow Dreamer's head up. But hey, we play with the hands we're dealt. Keep me updated, I'm running an intercept. Another nod before the woman leaves. The man lets out a deep breath, finally left alone, and leaves the station to grab a coffee. He didn't think he'd be working for nights on end when he took this job, but it's not like he could quit. And at least the pay was good. As he moves out of frame, we move closer to one of the monitors. Unbeknownst to any observer, as the corpse is loaded into a truck by medical personnel, maybe just through an unfortunate bump against the vehicle, maybe just by happenstance, the pedal hands of the creature known as Wacky twitch slightly. Then, the doors are shut behind it, and the screen goes black.